Amen. What a wonderful opportunity to have to sit in the sanctuary of the Lord and prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you for that musical number and an opportunity to prepare to enter into the full presence of the triune God who welcomes us into his presence. I welcome you to this service. We have a lot of light on the altar today. There are 40 candles here representing different remembrances that we'll have, and we'll be talking more about that. But we're grateful that you are here. Just a couple quick announcements. We do have our Bible study, which we have every other Thursday. It is this Thursday at 1517 Thomas Jefferson Road. We meet at Forest Community Church, and we're looking at the Beatitudes. We'd love to have you join us. We started our fellowship hour again this Sunday, and I think it went very well. And I saw Carolyn and Martha there in the kitchen, and thank you for all you did getting it set up for us today. Any other announcements? Okay, let me, before we go into prayer requests, let me just draw your attention, so we'll do some housekeeping now, so it'll go smoothly when we get there. If you'll see, right after the second reading, we will have our Remembrance and All Saints Litany. If you did not, and I hope you did, pick up at the table in the narthex an All Saints Sunday Litany of Praise. We will go through this litany responsibly with pastor and congregation until you see about two-thirds of the way down. We will remember those who've entered into glory. If you look over to that next list, you'll see the list of those that we will be remembering. The philosophy and theology, the custom behind it is you remember everyone who has passed this year or those that have never been remembered before. You know, logistically, if we just accumulatively remembered everyone every year over again, it would become a week-long service. So what we do is we remember everyone who's passed in this year and everyone who's not been remembered at an All Saints Day. Now, I have done my very best as someone who's quite absent-minded to keep all the names and dates, and I got texts and pieces of paper and emails. I've tried to call it through, and I've tried to do my best. When I read the names, I will try to pronounce them properly. Here's how you can help me. If you look on that list, I would ask those who are here as family or representatives of a particular individual to come forward two or three people in advance so we don't have to watch you walk. You follow me on that? So like, I'll just pick Ruth Rosine. I would ask John and if Joan will be coming together somewhere around the lighting of Tom Goff's candle, that you would make your way to the front so that we can move along. If you do that, the preacher has guaranteed that he will make sure his sermon is not a typical length one so that we're done before breakfast tomorrow. The other thing is, please take a candle. And because we are not allowed to have open flame, these are electric candles. Pull it out. The base turns clockwise. And if you just know digital readouts, you're out of luck, so you'll have to figure it out. But turn the base clockwise, and I'll demonstrate. That'll come on, and then put it back into the base. While I'm here, please do not light this candle, that candle, or that candle. So the three top candles, please do not light. Any of the others are fair game. And then in the spirit of both the Old and New Testament, we are a symbolic people. And we like tangible things that remind us. And this whole service is all about remembering. Just like Joshua did when the children crossed over the waters, they put up stone reminders for the sole purpose of when the children would ask, what are those stones for? The parents could follow the great Shema and speak so that they could hear, O Israel, that the Lord is our God is one. And so I would invite you in the spirit of the fact that we will receive that white globe robe as those that have gone on have. There is in the chalice, there are white stones. I would ask each one of you to take a stone as you come forward after you light your candle in remembrance of those that we remember. I think, have I covered everything? We're all clear? So your only job is to sort of look and come scoot down here, you know, as you see the name appearing. Some of these will not have individuals that will be able to be here, and light of those individuals, our lay Eucharistic minister will be lighting the candle. When the candle is lit, we'll hear a tone that will ring in our ears, but more importantly, a tone like sweet incense that will rise into the ears of a father who has received those in like manner as they step from this temporal plane. I think that's clear, and it'll work itself out as we go. It's not clear, Wayne? All right. Well, thank God you're not lighting a candle, so we're in good shape. All right. Now we'll move to prayer requests. Any prayer requests this morning? I want to start with a praise. Thank you. I heard my mother was a long day yesterday in the emergency room, but just found out 10 minutes ago that the final test, which was a stress test, was clear, and they're sending her home. So we want to give God thanks for that. Pray that my sister, who thought this was a good opportunity to fly in from Florida, and she's arriving in Raleigh, hopefully in a couple hours, and Sherry's going to pick her up. Also, we want to continue to keep carrying our prayers. How are you feeling today?
Feel okay.
Good. Well, we'll keep carrying our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, sir, David.
I have a praise to G.L. Smith, who has had that major surgery, is doing well. He's lost 15 pounds. We need continued prayer that he's exhausted. He's on 400 calories a day, and he needs to get exercise to keep the weight going off.
That's
and
great.
If you have any update on John Thornton, I certainly would love to hear.
What's a word on John?
He's off the ventilator as of the middle of the week sometime. And he can talk a little bit. He's very, very weak. He's still in the woods, but so don't relent.
So let's keep GL in our prayers and John Thornton. That's great. Praise God. Agnes, I saw a hand.
Jan Gray.
She has what?
Lung cancer.
Jan Gray. Okay. Some of us have remembered, because she attended quite a bit, Jean Blankenship. She passed away this Friday morning very early. So let's keep her friends and family in our prayers. Yes, Sue?
My twin sister, just keep her in prayers. This has been a real scary experience.
Well, I'm glad you were able to visit and glad you're home now.
I am. So.
Let's keep Margaret in our prayers. Any other items? Yes, Carrie.
A neighbor of ours who grew up with us, Jack Anderson, he found out last Friday he had leukemia. We think it a good prognosis. So we started chemo.
We'll certainly keep him in our prayers. Any others? Let's go to the word of prayer. Our gracious, holy, and remembering God, we are eternally grateful that we can not only find access into your presence through the finished work of Jesus Christ, but having made that entrance into your presence, we're not greeted as a stranger, nor an enemy, nor a servant. But we are welcomed as friends. We're called sons and daughters through the finished work of our elder brother and joint heir, Jesus Christ. We're grateful in this world that is fast-paced and cruel that we have a remembering God who not only remembers us, but remembers us fondly with eternal mercy that holds us in life and holds us in death. For truly our only hope in life and death is that we are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. So we come to you in prayer, knowing that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for those whom you purchased. You are a good Father. And we ask your blessings upon your children. We thank you for improvement with Carol, and continued improvement with Carrie, with GL, with John, with Margaret, with Jeff, with Jan, with the one that comes to our mind at this time. We pray that your blessings would be upon the friends of Jean Blankenship. We thank you that her suffering has ceased, that she's entered into glory. And we pray that during our service today, you would draw close as a God of all comfort to uphold us as we remember those. May we rest that you remember us all. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, we come to worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin.
Create
in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us.
Cast
us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge for the quick and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
Look with me to the 149th Psalm. We'll read this by whole verse, calling each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing with all the saints in glory. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his presence in the congregation of the faithful.
Let Israel rejoice in his favor. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king.
Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people and adorns the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in their throat and the two-edged sword in their hand.
To wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples.
To bind their kings in chains and their nobles with links of iron.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful people. Hallelujah.
Say the word.
First reading comes from Revelation 7, 9 through 17. For those of you who are reading along, I'll give you a couple seconds to find 9. It's kind of hard to see. It says after. That's the first word. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders, the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Joys which you have prepared for those who love you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who through Christ makes us his children, and as his children we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading comes from 1 John 3, 1 through 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'll join your hearts with me in the litany of praise. Gracious God, you are to be praised for the women and men whose faithful witness to your love inspires each generation of your people.
Mindful of all those who have gone ahead of us, teach us to follow their example.
To feed the poor, to support and comfort those who mourn.
To cherish and learn from the merciful, to be humbled by and stand with Jesus Christ.
Let us clearly recognize what it means to be called the children of God, and may we know we are your saints.
Not by our own choosing, nor by our own strength, but only by the call of Christ Jesus our Savior.
Loving God, the generations rise and pass away before you.
You are the strength of those who labor. You are the rest of those who live. We rejoice in the coming of your saints.
We remember all who have lived in faith, all who have peacefully died, and especially those most dear to us who rest in you, whose names we remember before you now. If you'll look with me to the roster, I'd invite Katie and Rosemary to come forward as we light these candles, and then follow along and make your way to the front row here as we remember those who have entered into glory. We remember Carl Epley, who entered into glory June the 4th, 1965. We remember Charlie B. Johnson, who then entered into glory September the 16th, 1992. We remember Ruth Epley, who entered into glory October the 23rd, 2004. I would remind you to get white stones if you'd like, as you light the candle. We remember Chris Epley, who entered into glory October the 7th, 2019. We remember Krista E. Masters, who entered into glory October the 7th, 2019. We remember Bernadine Himmerline, who entered into glory April the 20th, 2020. We remember Al Himmerline, who entered into glory August the 4th, 2020. 20. We remember Florence McNeil, who entered into glory November the 15th, 2020. We remember Robert L. Wright II, who entered into glory November the 23rd, 2020. We remember Paul Royer, who entered into glory November the 26th, 2020. We remember Josette Vigny, who had entered into glory December the 3rd, 2020. We remember Gregory Allen Mahanes, who entered into glory December the 12th, 2020. We remember Lorraine Shepley, who entered into glory January the 4th, 2021. We remember Thomas Goff, who entered into glory January the 16th, 2021. Remember Ashby Wade May, who entered into glory January the 22nd, 2021. We remember Rose Marlowe, who entered into glory February the 10th, 2021. We remember Ruth Rosine, who entered into glory February the 24th, 2021. We remember Bishop Joseph Kenneth Grabowski, who entered into glory February the 24th, 2021. We remember Frankie Townsend, who entered into glory February the 28th, 2021. We remember Susan Williamson, who had entered into glory March the 17th, 2021. We remember John Wright, who entered into glory March the 22nd, 2021. We remember Andrea McDaniel, who entered into glory March the 25th, 2021. We remember Mary Frances Wood, who entered into glory April the 2nd, 2021. We remember Beverly Clay Eggleston, who entered into glory May the 6th, 2021. We remember Paul Dietz, who entered into glory June the 6th, 2021. We remember Michael Shane Miller, who entered into glory June the 24th, 2021. I must apologize for an omission, but we remember Margaret Ann Hickok, who entered into glory July the 14th, 2021. We remember Bruce Lineberger, who entered into glory July the 15th, 2021. We remember Kenneth Lee Lowry Jr., who entered into glory July the 16th, 2021. We remember Martin Matt McFarland, entered into glory August the 16th, 2021. We remember Jean-Marie Moret, who entered into glory August the 29th, 2021. We remember Kim Setzler, who entered into glory September the 9th, 2021. We remember Jackson Alexander Cunningham Jr., who entered into glory September the 27th, 2021. We remember Polly Warrington, who entered into glory October the 4th, 2021. we remember John Wiley Davis, who entered into glory October the 17th, 2021. We remember Larry Clark Burris, who entered into glory October the 28th, 2021. We remember Grayson Lee Royer Templeton, who entered into glory October the 30th, 2021. We remember Norma Jean Blankenship, who entered into glory November the 5th, 2021. I would ask our lay Eucharistic minister to light the candle on the prayer mountain here for all those who died in 2021 that we don't know, but they died in the full knowledge and remembrance of our Lord and Savior. Given the nature of life, the prayer mountain to your right has a candle that will remain unlit. For in the mortality of this temporal life, this candle remains unlit for all those who will pass into glory in the coming year and will be remembered next All Saints Day. And then the hope of us all, which is over by the bread and the chalice, is Jesus Christ, that light eternal that gives us our hope and comfort in all things. We remember these in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give us in time our portion with those who have believed your word and rested in your promise.
gospel reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Quite a testimony to see all of these candles. The Lord who must have a sense of humor. All week I've been sort of putting off and bemoaning, because as many of you know, I'm not an organized person. I'm sort of absent-minded. And I just sort of griped all week about all this paperwork and scheduling and all that. But I realized that I didn't have the hardest job in trying to bring about this All Saints Day celebration. Those of you who had to light those candles, that was the hardest job. And I think Jen must have sabotaged some of those too. But thank you for your patience. But isn't this a testimony of light that we are not forgotten? And that is our hope. So let us go to prayer and have a very brief, in fact, the sermon itself is only one word long, so hold me to it. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your love, for your holding us. We thank you for the presence of a young one in the midst of lighting these candles, reminding us that it's truly out of the mouth of babes. It's in the relaxation and trust of one who leans not upon their own understanding, who trusts in their parents, yea, trusts in the Lord with all their heart. May we do that in life and in death. We thank you again for these that we have remembered, for all the blessings that you bestow. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Years ago, and I'm glad in a way that no family's here to attest to this, years ago I really loved to argue. I thought every hill was one I was personally called by God to die upon. And I would argue. I remember in college, looking back, it seems so ridiculous now, a colleague and I, we started a newsletter. We called it, with a great deal of hubris, the Apostolic Remnant. Somehow we knew we were the remnant that would straighten the church out. I loved to argue. I remember in grad school with another professor starting Tishrei, table talk, a theology club where we would get together and debate. I've actually had a couple televised debates, which I hope are no longer able to be seen. But you know, I don't like to debate any longer. I don't think it's because I hold to the truth any less. It's just over the last, you know, somewhere around 30, I just thought, you know, this is fruitless. It's just a lot of fire and a lot of heat, but not much fire. So I just don't argue much anymore. If you want to believe what you believe, more power to you, and that's fine. And I was challenged this past week by a lady an acquaintance. We were at a group breakfast, and she challenged me on what we were doing today. She, probably in her 70s, has been a faithful member of her communion for a long time, and they see things a little differently than those of us who would have paid homage last week in Reformation Day. And she told me that what we were doing this Sunday was illegitimate, that it wasn't All Saints Day, that it was All Souls Day. And she proceeded to tell me that there is a distinction in her theological system between saints and souls. And didn't I know that November the 1st we have All Saints Day, and on November the 2nd we have All Souls Day? Because in her system, a saint is someone who's gone through a fairly rigid system of beautification to sainthood, and it's basically, in her system, being a saint is a special class of believers that are canonized because of their wonderful behavior, their wonderful merit, their heroic or even miraculous events, and they're given sainthood, but so that the rest of us won't feel left out, the church came up with All Souls Day, and we let those second class believers be recognized on All Souls Day. So she didn't mind me having an All Souls Day, but these people ain't saints, she would tell me. You'd have been proud of me. I just kept eating my biscuits and gravy and just said, that's interesting. That's interesting. And brothers and sisters, she's that exactly right if you look at her theological system. But brothers and sisters, if you look at the Bible, it's exactly wrong. The word saint is only used 67 times in the New Testament. It means to be set apart, and every time it's mentioned, without any exception, it's not referring to some special class of believer, some heroic achiever. Every time it's mentioned, it's talking about these people. It's talking about you. See, because the truth of the matter is, these people aren't saints because of something they did. And our hope is not in something we do. We're declared saints. As we read in our passage this morning in 1 John 3, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. Why? Because that's who we are. You're saints, not because you went through a canonization process. These people are saints that we remember, not because of what they achieved, did, or didn't do, but because that in the finished work of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, as He did in creation, declared it to be. When God speaks, performance happens. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He says, you are a child of God. You are a saint, and in Christ we are. I was asked once, and I've done several of the funerals here. I've done probably 400, 500 funerals. And I have, two or three times, none of these people, so don't go through the list, but two or three times I've had people say, preacher, I know you've got to bury my brother, but he wasn't much of a churchgoer. In fact, I don't even know if he really had a whole lot going for him at all. I mean, he was sort of a scoundrel. How do you preach a funeral for a scoundrel? Now, I would say that before me are candles lit for people that were not scoundrels. But how do you preach a funeral for a scoundrel? What do you say? A eulogy is supposed to be good words. So how do you say good words about someone that may have lived their life intent on not doing very much good? Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you are all saints. But guess what you also all are? You're scoundrels. These people in Christ Jesus are declared saints, but they were also those that were fallen. We fell. We lost the image of God through the acts of Adam and Eve. But here's the sermon proper, all this has been introduction. Do you know what the very first word? And in Hebrew, it's only one word. In Hebrew, it takes three or four, depending on the version in the English. But it's the word ayyaka. And it's only one Hebrew word. It's the first word that God uttered after we all became scoundrels. Do you remember from your remembrance of Genesis 3 with the first thing God said after Adam and Eve had fallen? Where are you? Just one word. Where are you? Brothers and sisters, let me remind you, this isn't a spatial question. God's not looking for Adam and Eve the way you might be looking for a set of car keys. They tried to hide, but the one who created the tree could see through the tree. God didn't know or did not know where they were. He's not asking a spatial question like, where are you? He's asking one of desire. He missed them. Having fallen from his image, it was out of his good pleasure that he created, and now he misses them. He desired them, and in that one word, where are you? We see that God desires fellowship with his people. We see God seeks out sinners. We see that through Christ, God forgives and welcomes sinners back. And we, like the prodigal, another scoundrel, upon coming home, and these people coming home, and our hope is in coming home, we don't come home to the elder brother, do we? We come home to the Father, who welcomes us with a run, who runs to us, who greets us, who throws his arms around our smelly, swine-infested being, and puts a robe and a ring and has a party for us. We find a welcome and gracious Father. See, the problem with thinking that you have to be a saint in the way we might define saints and something you achieve is there are not many of them, are they? And sometimes we think that we get brownie points or somehow are more honoring of the Father if we're restrictive of who can come. Like the elder brother, somebody's got to protect the old man. Like the elder brother, someone's got to put up some barriers. We don't want just anyone coming back and getting hugged by the Father. And somehow, sometimes, if we're not careful, we just think, well, we need to put up some high fences. We need to put up some strictures. There's something in us with Groucho Marx who said he didn't want to be a member of a country club that would let him be a member. We sort of want some high standards. We want some credibility. And the problem is, Jesus says, go out to the highways and byways. Find the lame and bring them in. And they're welcome. They do need a garment, but I'll provide that too in Christ Jesus. See, sometimes we think heaven's going to be a few people. If we're honest, it's going to be full of people like me and you. Us four, no more. We don't. That's what we want. But the truth of the matter is, Scripture teaches, as we read in the first lesson, how many people are going to be in heaven? How many people are declared saints? As I read the gospel found in the book of Revelation, as David read it to us today, it seemed like there was going to be a number there that you can't count. And it's not for our glory. It's for his. You ever been to a party and there weren't enough people there to celebrate? It just doesn't feel right. You want a whole lot of people to celebrate someone's life. Well, brothers and sisters, our Father, through Christ Jesus, has arranged that a whole lot of us will be saints. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. As we believe and say thank you for calling us to yourself to celebrate the one life that's eternal. Amen. I'd ask you to stand and we'll confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me in a Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Covenanting God, you declared your wonders in the heavens, but made known your character in calling a people. You shaped your people's life through Elijah, Jeremiah, and the prophets. Then in Jesus, you made yourself fully known to us. And in his death and resurrection, you healed the past through forgiveness and released the future through the gift of eternal life. In the power of the Spirit, you called all the being your church, never closer to you than when we gather at this table, as we long to gather at your heavenly banquet with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord.
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the heights. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the heights.
Revealing God, you came among us in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And in same manner, you come among us now in the materials of daily sustenance and joyful celebration. Send down your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of friend and neighbor may become your church in Christ alone, and these offerings of bread and wine may be for you, may be for us, the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is God.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again."
Embodied God, you met us in the body and blood of your Son Jesus, and you meet us now in the body and blood we see on this altar. Show us your face and the face of one another in the body and blood of your church, that we, your people, may be taken by you, blessed through you, broken for you, and given for the life of your world. Through this sacrament of thanks and praise, inscribe your church into the life of your Trinity, that we may have the creativity of the Father, the passion of the Son, and the empowerment of your Spirit. Bring us to your presence on the last day, and hasten that time when every tear is dried from every eye, all secrets are transformed to your glory, all oppression is healed by your grace.
and you are all in all.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, as John in exile, alone on the Isle of Patmos, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he confesses that he worshiped God, but he worshiped surrounded with the heavenly host, with all the saints that have gone on, all the saints around the world. For we are never alone. Every prayer is an Our Father, even if we're praying alone. Every time we read the scripture, we're doing it as the body of Christ. And when we come to this table, we have a visible reminder that we are joined at this table with all those who are yet and eternally in Christ Jesus. Next week, these candles will not be here. But let me remind you, there'll still be one, that Christ candle. And may that always remind us that they are still and yet here, for we are one in Him. And in Christ, we come together to celebrate our Paschal Lamb. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come to receive the very body and blood of Christ. We practice by intinction. So you will take bread, dip it into the chalice, come forward and pray, asking God's blessings upon you, upon His church, thanking Him for the gift of His Son. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for having fed us at your table, a table prepared for us, offered to us freely, freely given, freely received, and freely we praise your name as our hope, our security, our comfort, and our eternal life. In that precious name of Christ, amen. Tribute and remember this time next year.
we know that we will be remembered, either here or we will be remembered from the portals of heaven. That light may represent any of us, but not with a sense of dread, but with the hope of knowing that if it does, being in Christ, the light continues to shine. It may represent me. And the hope is that someone will stand and speak the word that in Christ Jesus, we are remembered eternally. So now unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the throne, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.